get paid so much better and you have the smartest people because of it.
Not anymore. UBC just took it.
I know. I am so sorry. I missed.
Obviously, you know, the sludge of America.
Couldn't handle such an issue.
My words come out. Just ask Marilyn. My words come out and don't adequately convey what I'm thinking. Right, Marilyn?
With all her freedom.
That's why he always wears shoes. His shoes are true leather. Real leather.
It tastes all right.
Well, there's so we're not having.
Yeah. So can I just ask? Because maybe you know. So the Brady Giglia Oversight Committee. What is that?
No, it's not an.
It's a concept.
It's a discussion, isn't it?
Oh, about having a Brady Giglia Oversight Committee.
Right. Yeah.
Okay, I just didn't know if a committee had been formed.
No. That's how he conveyed it to me, as he was saying, "Can I raise this issue? Maybe we have some oversight."
Chief Ross is president of the city officers.
LELC.
Yeah. He's called a meeting.
Yeah, and so that's tomorrow at 9.
Yeah.
Bountiful.
Yeah. Are you going?
No, because I'll be here, and so will my chief deputy. Yeah. So we have a couple of chiefs going.
I have somebody going tomorrow. I think Dan might go.
But some committee like this, all they really can do is promulgate standards.
That's, they can talk about best practices, but they can't impose a mandate on.
And say, oh yeah, let's adopt this as best practices.
But we ought to come up with the rules of how we all treat it the same so that an officer doesn't get treated differently.
And I think law enforcement has, I think Post is really has to take this. If they want ownership in it, if they want direction, then they have to take that on.
I agree. The final analysis, though, is going to be the prosecutors to decide whether they're going to make the list or not. It's our
but, which we can only do if we get the information.
Yeah.
And as Marilyn was just bringing up, I mean, is this at some point something that we want to go to the AOC and get on their training calendars and have, you know, bring them in on this discussion?
I think first we got to figure out where we are.
Well, I agree. Yeah. But at some point, you know, maybe that's something that we want
to. Don't we need to know what they're doing?
Because I don't know if everybody's aware. Those of you that wouldn't come to OMPA, is the last 2 years, the training committee from the Justice Court judges have really pushed and kind of have invited themselves to come to OMPA and have done a panel presentation. And so this may be something that we can take back to them. I mean, because now there's a history of them coming to us wanting to be part of our training. So we at least, on the Justice Court level, at the very least, could push back to them and say, okay, now we want to come to you with, you know, topic and discussions. But like you said, after we formulate the plan.
Right. So I think that's a good idea.
Maybe a plan before next OMPA's conference.
That's totally.
Yeah, I mean, that's not until next August.
Okay, well, I'll call on you.
Okay, so going back to number 7.
Yes.
All right, so let me bring you up to date on e-prosecutor. The contract has been signed. So we, UPC, has now purchased e-prosecutor on behalf of state and our county and city prosecutors to the tune of $1.235 million. I've already sent you copies of the contract. Do you guys want copies of the signed signature pages? If not, I'll just keep those in my office, but realize I have those and can give those to you if you need them. Where we are at now is I need to send out the joinder agreements as well as the memorandum of agreement between UPC and the cities and counties. What the joinder agreement is that's an agreement that between the jurisdiction and Journal Technologies that just says that you will pay us for whatever specific services we provide to you. The memorandum of agreement is with the between UPC and the individual agency as to what you have to provide to UPC in terms of the grant, because there's specific reporting requirements, and it's all dealing with tracking. Since this grant has come under the defendant database tracking system, so we have to track things such as number of warrants that have been issued, people that have been sentenced to either jail or prison for X number of time, just the data reporting requirements that we will be able to generate through e-prosecutor. Ron brought up a good point that we need to make sure that Journal Technologies accounts for all of these different reports, but they have such a robust report generating system that I think that we will be able to do that. What we need to do is to continue with, I don't know what we want to call it, a case management oversight committee. What was it called? The PIMS governance?
User
governance committee. But we need to have a similar committee because Journal contracted with UPC. They are only willing to have one voice speak on behalf of all of the users for UPC. They don't want each individual jurisdiction coming in saying, we've got this problem, we need to fix it. They want to hear it coming from one unified voice, and so that voice is going to need to be Ron. And so we need this committee. What I'm proposing is we just continue the RFP committee. So that would be Doug Johnson from Sandy, Ed Montgomery from South Jordan. Then we had Joelle Rowley, because I like to have at least a couple of admin people. So we have Joelle from Wasatch County, thank you. Haley sat on it, and Haley would be great, but she doesn't necessarily have any skin in the game. And so what I'm proposing is that, well, Angie Jackson was suggested from Junior Baker, Spanish Fork City Attorney. She's been very active in working with Utah County. She comes from a city aspect. She's got some city insight as to what they would like the product to be able to do, since all the city tickets mostly come in on, or by and large, the tickets come in on citation. My understanding is that the product isn't really great in dealing with citations, but that's something that we need to work on. And so she would be a voice to be able to take, you know, bring us that information that we can pass on to Ron. Scott Sweat was on the committee, and Jared Eldridge. By the way, I don't know that we really introduced Ryan. Congratulations on your new position as new Wasatch County or Juab County Attorney. And then we didn't really give. So maybe I'll just take a pause. Dan, don't tell us about Dan.
I'll let Dan speak for Dan. But
at fear of being an old person, I'm new weight.
Yeah.
I take that role for our office.
Yeah, then I was thinking about that. I just want to make sure that everybody understands that is Dan's kind of new role at the AG's office. And so those of you that are up on the hill, you'll be seeing Dan and at SWAP Black. So
yeah. Be nice to me.
Yeah. And then I think everybody else just here is designees. Is that right?
Yeah,
okay.
Designee.
Yeah. Okay. So anyway, so going back then to our committee. So we need to replace Jared. Marilyn and I were talking of those jurisdictions that will be using it, you know, who's eligible, but we're just curious if there's anybody in the council that would like, since we've already got two city prosecutors, we're looking to have two county attorneys be on this panel. Anybody want to volunteer or suggest? Scott, do you want to continue in that role, or would you rather?
I'm happy to continue for a while.
Okay, so Scott, anybody else?
Just Ryan Peters.
Ryan?
Not on the council, but I...
Well, no, you don't have to be on the council. This is separate. This is who are going to be the users.
I would like to if that's open and an opportunity.
Okay.
And he's used our version, so
yeah.
Okay.
I mean, and I don't know that we have to be limited to county, to city, to admin. That was just, you know, a suggestion. And do we want to have more people, or do we think that's a good mix?
I think that's probably
good. Okay. And then Ron will be the IT person. So what we're going to do is I'm going to have Ron be the chair of that committee, since he's going to be the IT person, the voice going to that. Ron's going to be out of town helping his son move. And so we're looking at getting that committee together probably the first part of November. John Peake from Journal Technologies has agreed to come and meet with that committee to give them an idea of how to proceed, what they are going to need. So I think you know, that we are in a good place to move forward. We've talked about, and I'm proposing that each jurisdiction we assess a fee for this service that Ron's going to be doing. I mean, it's going to be taking up quite a bit of his time. It'd be similar, well, probably be less than the PIMS fee, but that would just be my proposal. Now, let me throw this out, because I know, you know, budgets are tight and we're talking about money. Is my hope is that I'm going to be able to get another grant to cover the remaining $235,000 fee that's not currently covered. And if I'm successful in doing that, CCJJ thinks that next year I can apply for that. There will be no cost to any of the jurisdictions for this product. right now we would be dividing that $235,000 that exceeds the amount of the grant between each of the users. With 120 users, which you've got roughly committed right now, that's about $2,000 per user, but that's for the 5-year contract. But if I can get another grant, then there will be no cost to the user. So I think if that happens, then I think a user fee or a administrative fee for, you know, the work that Ron is going to have to do is more than reasonable.
What about the annual license and maintenance fee? That would be covered
for 5 years. That's all covered. That's covered for 5 years. Yeah. And because this is a grant that, well, you know, like all grants, it could go away, but it may be that I can apply for additional funds each year. So once we get beyond the 5-year grant period, that I can continue to apply for grant funds that can be used for those user fees. So in a perfect situation, those users will not have to pay anything.
I had my budget meeting with my commissioners yesterday.
Yeah.
And talking to them about this, obviously, I'm trying to prepare to have the money there for when, and obviously I have a smaller jurisdiction, but we're going to have, you know, 6, 7, 8 licenses.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's going to cost me a fair amount of money if you're not able to get that grant.
Right.
I had talked to them last year about that. So they gave me the money last year, or this current year right now. Mm-hmm. I'm asking for money for next year, but I haven't spent the money from this year. They can't roll over. It's not something that I can just roll over from year to year to
yeah.
get that point. What I'm wondering is can I prepay you guys and hold on to it? I don't know if you can or not. But that's what I'm looking at,
mm-hmm.
to use my money from this year's budget and then have money next year if we do get a grant. Then we could count that towards my maintenance fees and,
right.
and things like that. I mean, that's
a good question that I would have to ask our finance people, because I don't know that I can accept those kinds of funds.
I don't know if we can roll things over like that. That's,
I don't know.
That's a different concept.
But we can.
Well, it's a great idea.
I think it is too. Because
I mean, for us, I mean, I don't get a lot of money each budget year. Right?
Yeah.
I can spend what I want, but.
So let me. I will ask that, but that raises an underlying question: is when will the jurisdiction?
I can pay that in January.
Right. is when will the jurisdictions get?
I can have 30 days after.
Okay. So what if it? I mean, what if it? We don't need to use that, and a new fiscal year comes around. I mean, that's our question. Is.
Did we change?
I think the question is how to make it happen.
Right.
There's always a way.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
there's got to be a creative way.
The question is how to make it happen.
Right. Because the underlying issue that you're raising is when do I get my product? And that's one thing that this committee is going to have to determine is an order of who gets it. Just to give you some background, and you know, I've talked in the emails and whatnot.
Who pays the money for it?
There you go.
And you know what? You should put it out. I was like, you're ready.
Okay, that's not a bad idea.
Priority. Priority seating.
But just to give you some, you know, some context, you know, is Salt Lake signed their contract with Journal Technologies over a year ago. They still don't have a working product. The biggest holdup right now is the court system.
We'll knock over that domino for you.
You might open it. I think somebody's out there. James.
The problem has been is that e-prosecutor cannot go into Chorus and extract the calendar information. And that's the hurdle that they're trying to overcome, is they don't want, I mean, what's the purpose of having, you know, a paperless system, e-prosecutor type system, if it can't go in and extract the necessary data? So Salt Lake County is working on that, and so that's a big hurdle. And so we will have the same hurdle. We're going to have the same problem. And so until Salt Lake gets it, until Salt Lake goes live, we can't go live. Plus, our cities and the municipal-related issues are going to have some specific needs that will need to be addressed by Journal Technologies. So again, that's why we need to get this committee running. So you're right, Scott. I mean, it could be 2 years, ostensibly, before Duchesne County ever got it, and you don't want to keep carrying it, rolling that money over. So that's a good idea to look at. Steve, sorry. Steve, Scott.
Scott's my brother.
Yeah. So.
We don't get along with
Scott. I'll keep him alone.
Let's see. The grant, just so you're all aware, the grant was extended 12 months. The email that I sent out the latter part of August, that where CCJJ dumped on me at the last minute that they didn't want to fund the grant because we were getting, paying money up front and not getting a product in return. The fact that we now have 12 months extension on the grant, but in 12 months we may not have a product, but we will have substantial headway on having a product. So I don't foresee us having that same issue with CCJJ that a year from now we'll be able to cut a check to Journal Technologies without any hiccups from CCJJ. What else? Did I cover everything?
Bob, I had a question. It occurred to me. The grant's going to pay a big chunk of it, and then there's a small chunk left that the counties and cities may or may not have to, depending on future grants.
Right.
If they do have to, and future grants aren't forthcoming, when would they need to pay that? Because Journal Technology typically says that you don't need to pay us until we install it, until it goes live.
Right.
So would they pay it when we finally install it in their office? And that could be a year or 2 years, like you said, for some of them.
Right.
I'm hoping to get it sooner for some, but we'll see how it goes.
And that's a good question. And the contract actually is written to allow for both. We can either prepay or we can pay when the jurisdiction goes live.
Okay.
So.
And then the 5 years starts from
go live.
From go live date.
From go live date. So your go live date may be very different from when Steve, from Duchesne County goes live.
So that would be prorated.
Yes. Well, no, what do you mean by prorated?
When licenses are purchased for the 5 years,
mm-hmm.
correct?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Bob, one more thing, I want to be clear. From what I understand, after the 5 years, then there will be a yearly maintenance thing that we'll be responsible for, and that would be whatever their current...
Each jurisdiction will be responsible for that. And so that's why, again, I'm going to hopefully be able to continue to get grant funds that will cover that. Oh, I know one thing that didn't get in here because I talked to Journal after I did this is... Utah County, you're paying a yearly increase, is that correct, based on the price index?
5% per year.
Okay, so Journal said that has been written into our contract, and so we are not actually, we will not have a yearly increase for that 5 years. So
just one being 30% increase. Yeah.
that's exactly. Now, as I'm told, granted, it'll be based on the price index what it is in 5 years after they go live. So I feel pretty good where we're at. Getting that contract signed was a huge hurdle, and as well as getting that year extension was a big bonus. So that's where we're at with the prosecutor.
Well, you were bragging about the AG's, your fiscal wizard there, so you'll be able to help Stephen out with his problem.
I know. Yeah, so I will talk to Kimberly and see, how we could do that, how we would separate those funds, or if we pay, and maybe what it is actually now that I'm talking out loud, which I think better when I do, is we may prepay to Journal so that the AG, so that we are not holding your funds, but it's a Journal and they're holding it in escrow on your behalf, and maybe that's the way that we would
do that.
So,
or you take his funding and it pays for the civil conference, then when we civil conference, we reimburse
there
it.
We go.
Yeah, there we go.
I don't care. It's about
yeah, no, so let we I will look into that. That's it, unless somebody has more questions on that issue.
Anything else on the IT aspect?
Oh, actually, the whole thing I started out on is this fee. Is how does a council fee is assessing each user, each jurisdiction, a fee for Ron's services? That's how this whole started.
Yeah.
Do we want to leave that for now? Do you want the committee to talk about it and come back with a proposal? What would the council?
I think the committee is a good idea.
Okay.
And figure out what kind of time. We should try to figure out what kind of time we're talking about here. And also, we need to look at how many jurisdictions are actually going to go to this mm-hmm. versus how many remain on PIMS, how much work we need to continue to do with PIMS.
Right, right.
And justify it all.
Right, okay.
Are you
going to
be on the committee?
I'm not.
Ryan's on the committee. Okay. Ryan and Scott.
Other business.
OK. Okay, we did the Brady Giglio. So then post-recording phase. Giglio. Sorry. So posts can no longer record our fall and spring conferences for free. You know, they're having to tighten their budgets. Chris Fielding, we would pay for his travel, but all the other expenses a post was covering. You can see it's what number is it? At the top of page six, what we were paying for, or what we would be paying for: equipment gathering, setup, support at the event, recording, takedown, editing of the footage, and providing us with a very professional DVD of the event. It was costing Post approximately $6,000 for all of that, and they're asking that we pay half of those costs, which is that, you know, almost $3,000. And so the question becomes, do we want to pay for that service, especially like the fall conference with the addition of the AOC presentation. I had a lot of people asking, are you going to be paying, or are you going to be doing a live video? We don't have the equipment to do that. That's something that Post could do. So I guess the question is, do we pay for that? In light of our discussion, maybe what we work out with Post is we will continue to do the regional legislative updates for free if they will do one of our conferences for free, because we're budgeting about $2,500 to do the legislative update. And so, you know, maybe we pay a little bit more, but maybe that's an option. Or would the council want us, I mean, that'd be $6,000 a year to film just those two conferences. Do you want us to look into getting a little bit better recording equipment? I mean, we can't get nearly what Post has. What is it, Ron? How many tens of thousands of dollars is
that equipment? Well, Post, the equipment that they have is probably somewhere in the neighborhood of, you know, $40,000, $50,000.
Yeah, I mean, we can't afford to get that, and Ron doesn't have the expertise to do that, but we could look at maybe getting better.
And storing it.
Storing it.
And hauling it,
yeah.
And all of that.
Just need a good grant writer.
Yeah, but we could look at maybe getting some better recording equipment, certainly not their equivalent, but what we're looking for some council advice.
So at this point, have we given up on the live feed because of continuing education problems with the bar?
No, we can work that out. It's just we don't have the equipment for a live feed.
Okay. In fact, I've talked with them, and there is a way to work that out.
So that you can still get credit for a live feed?
Yeah, for a live feed, there's...
A live feed is a whole different beast than recording it, though.
Right.
But would the live feed be included?
We'd have to have posted.
Right, would the live feed be included in this cost, the $2,975?
We could, yes, because it's all the same equipment.
Okay.
It's just, like Ron's saying, it's a different way to doing it, but we're using essentially the same equipment. Is that correct?
Well, the same equipment, but I'm not sure about if there's additional costs for broadcasting it, like a webinar or whatever they call it.
We could probably use Salt Lakes. You know, webinar or an equivalent service, but that would be a relatively small expense, you know, when compared to the big cost.
What do you charge for someone who's used that for CLA as compared to the
$75
charge?
I'm sorry, say that again. Raron was reminding me that we actually have filmed civil conference, so it's three conferences
that
we filmed.
How much do you charge can a person pay, get the video, and get CLA?
They do a self-study.
Okay, and how much does that cost?
For just the bar, it's $10.
But we don't charge them.
If they do it themselves, we don't charge them anything.
So to get people in seats, we charge $75 a person. Mm-hmm.
But at the spring conference, didn't Salt Lake County pay for the people that we had attending
the spring conference
SLA?
Was unique because it was for the live feed, and so we did charge the $75.
Okay. I'm just wondering if,
but they didn't pay the
raising fees. That may be one to look at as well, just because the idea is to get rears and seats in the conference rather than get a free ride watching the video later.
Right.
So that may be something to look at for that committee.
How often are they being accessed, do we know? How often are they being
Ron,
watched?
Do you know that?
I don't have it handy because I didn't think about it, but I can get those.
Another option is to just not record them and not worry about it and just get people to
come. One year we did it for a legislative update, and I called and asked Chris. For one thing, it was hard for him to pin it down who watched it, but he said there, from what he could see, there was maybe like one or two that actually went online to watch it after the fact. They wanted it to be there.
Is there some thought that we might use this when the conference is in, like last year it was in Logan, and Logan's great, but Logan's
far away.
As far from St. George as you can get almost and still being safe. Is there any to just doing it when the conference is in a place that's a little more difficult for offices to justify sending a bunch of people to, and not maybe not doing it every, just offering the live option and not worrying about reporting everyone?
In my office, the real one that we want to record is spring, because everybody's got to see spring, in my opinion, legislative in case law update. So if you just record one conference, and whether it's on the Wasatch front or off, because we're not coinciding with the judicial conference necessarily, probably 3/4 of my prosecutors and 1/4 of my civil attorneys want to see that conference. Mm-hmm. So my recommendation would be to film that one at a minimum, and then you guys work out the fees, and we're happy to pay something. Or that's the important one for us.
Because we probably had 12 to 15 prosecutors in our conference room watching spring.
How many? We had 30 to 40. Okay.
So,
in the AG's office.
But was that live? That was the live streaming?
Yeah.
And I think we're talking about recording, putting it on the website, and who's going in and watching it afterwards.
But, and why can't we do live streaming, though? I'm sorry,
well,
I stepped out. I hope
No, it's okay. Is I can talk to Post to see what the additional cost would be. Is to set up the equipment is essentially going to be the same.
Post. What is Post?
They're the ones that have done our, that have
They've got all the equipment.
So we borrowed Post equipment?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was Post. We borrowed this and that equipment.
Yeah, it wasn't ours.
We borrow Post equipment and their operator.
Right. See, that was the other thing is Ron, you know, he
can Ron do this operation? Why are we borrowing if we have?
Because Ron has Post has the expertise.
The two things: I don't have expertise with video filming or using it. I know about as much as anybody that grabs a camera and starts videotaping. The other, and I could learn, so that's not an issue. The issue is mostly the equipment. What we have is little handheld ones, which are not sufficient, really, to record a conference in good quality. And that's why a lot of them online are not great quality.
What's the cost? What would the cost be?
It's a total of $6,000 per conference, and Post would ask us to pay for half. Now, if we're talking just about, and we are out of time, if we're talking about a live feed, let me go back to Post and see if it would be a different, you know, if they don't need as much equipment, okay, and if it's a reduced cost. And that I can come back in January and report on that.
Because the live feed, I think, is different. Marilyn, correct me if I'm wrong. If you're observing the live feed, it's a different CLE credit than if you're watching a recording at a later time.
Yeah, it's not self-study.
Right? So we're talking about the distinction, the importance is the distinction in the opportunity for credit, CLE credit.
The credit itself is the same whether you watch it live or you're self-studying, you're watching a video. It's the same.
It doesn't. Okay.
It doesn't matter. But if it's a live feed, in terms of what we did for spring last year, we charged $75 whether you're in the seat on site or whether you were off site. We still charge that because we still had to put on a conference.
Well, I'm not. I think that's appropriate.
I don't have any problem with that. But if we copy it and they go in online and look at it later, that person would do a self-study, and they would send in $10 to the bar. We would have nothing to do with it. And you get the same credit.
You get the same credit.
You're limited in the amount of self-study you should do with purgatory periods like that.
There is that one caveat.
So let me talk with Post and see what the difference would be in using their equipment to do a live feed versus recording. And maybe it will be cheaper, and we can come back and report on that.
I agree. Like, the most invaluable thing is a legislative update. Yeah. If you're not up on the Hill like Will is all the time, or
yeah, I don't need to go to the ledge update.
There's no better time to learn. And I think law
you just need to help
give it. A lot of law enforcement to that.
You know, and then as your distant law enforcement, you would have to go.
Well, see, and that's true.
You could distribute that to all the jurisdictions.
Go into a lot more detail.
Unless there's it's a good exchange.
The networking for regional legislative update is very important.
Exchange. Like when Utah County, those two officers showed up.
Anything else? All right, we're. We're a minute over time, it swaps turns.
So with that one-on-one training.
We are, our next scheduled meeting is January the 5th.
Sorry.
Oh, did we do the grandma request? Do we need
no,
to go over
we don't need to go over that.
Okay, that's good.
It's just in my office if anybody wants to.
Anybody wants to. So,
where is the January 5th meeting?
January
Someone
5th.
Just turned a patch in